Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the tough loss against St. Olaf and what he's expecting this week against Concordia. He tells us if there are some referees he wished weren't officiating his game, and the coach explains why he admires his dad so much. So let's join TaylorMade.
Let's welcome back Coach Taylor this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Team updates, just coming off of a tough loss to St. Olaf. Want to tip my hat to those guys. They did a great job down there getting ready to go, and it was a good game. We just came out on the wrong side for Hamline University. So,
well, I know you had to be excited about the way that your team played. They showed a lot of heart in that game, battling back. So what are some takeaways that you have from the game?
Takeaways is just far as, again, it comes down, it's a simple game. Whatever game you're playing, if you don't take care of the football, those things can come back to bite you. If you don't take the ball away, those things can come back to bite you. We lost the turnover battle, and ultimately we lost the game. Positives, our guys are gritty, they fought, but again, it would be good to get out with a faster start, and not have to battle back so hard, because you take the people don't understand much energy that really takes from a team to continue to keep battling. I like the way our guys did it, but we just got to start faster, and that's ultimately my job to get our guys going a little bit quicker. So
Nick Barber has 5 catches in his first 3 games of the season, then 23 over the last 2 weeks, including 4 touchdowns last week. I know you have to be pretty excited about this freshman.
Yeah, we are very, very excited about him. When we have one of our big-time playmakers, Nick Campa, go down, it provides opportunities for other guys to step up, and Nick has stepped up, and we're going to need to continue to, distribute the football, and, obviously with a big game like that, we got to make sure that he's getting more looks like he was this past weekend. So,
who were your offensive, defensive, and special team players of the week?
Special teams player of the week was Kyle Johnson, our punter. Did a great job punting, flipping the field. Defensively, we felt like Noah Jacobson did a good job with the D-line as far as, taking care of his responsibilities. And then offensively, we had to go with we had to go Colt. Nick Barber did a great job, 16 catches, over 200 yards receiving, and then he couldn't throw it to himself. So, Justice Spriggs was the co. So, proud of those guys.
You have Concordia this week. They run that triple option offense, which is kind of unique for this conference. So, what are some kinds of things you say to your players to prepare for this game?
Oh, man, yep. Coach Horan has been doing a great job up there for forever. Ever since I got here, that's always been another juggernaut of a team. The thing with this week is, it's a discipline game. It's the reason why Army, Air Force, Navy, it's the reason why those teams run that option. They feel like they're going to out-discipline you and wear you down. So big thing for us is our eyes this week defensively. We have to see we have to keep our eyes on our keys. If we can do that, it's very tough to stop this team. I'll be honest with you, but you can slow them down a little bit if your eyes are right. But if your eyes are bad, and you want to see too much, and you're concerned with what's going on the other side of the field, man, the game can get out of hand really quick. So we just got to do a good job with discipline in our eyes. So
I know that this is the kind of offense that requires a lot of discipline and intelligence from your defense. You got to feel pretty good that you have players that have both.
You know what? At times we do. But then again, at times, it lapses. The name of the game is football, man. Everybody wants to see the football, so it's human nature to want to look around, so that's why this game is one I always keep highlighted, because it's always fun to go against, this offense because of the chess match. Once you slow something down, then they go right to another thing, and they've been doing it for so long that they are really good at it. So it's a challenge coaching-wise for us to get our guys lined up, and it's really, every week you're telling your guys to key a certain thing, but this week it's imperative that their eyes are clean this week. Can't have dirty eyes this week, so.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week, and we start out with a couple from Tom, who went to you in quicksand right off the bat. He asked, are there certain referees that you hate to see officiate your games?
Tom, oh, man. Oh, Tom, if you can hear me laughing, one thing I don't ever want to talk about is officiating. So we love all officials. All officials are welcome at Hamline. We enjoy them all, and I love working with them. But Tom, honestly, that's a tough job. So, You know, I always try to talk to them before the game and just tell them I respect what they do, and I would not want to do it. So, you know, I'm not a big yeller at the officials, man, because that is a very, very tough job. But, you know, there are. It's funny if there's an official that we see that I don't like. You know, that no, we love them all.
Tom would also like to know what's personally the hardest part about coaching for you.
You know what? The hardest part of coaching. That's a really, really good question. I think whenever a kid quits, you know, that's tough. You know, you won't always see kids kind of grit it out and fight through the adversity. So, and you know, especially when a guy goes through the program, and especially if it's like in year three or even year four, man, that's really a tough. To me, that's a tough part of coaching, man. It's just to see a kid quit. So.
Dominic would like to know. He says some coaches like to set a plan, like a 5-year plan, when they become the head coach. Did you set some kind of plan like that when you took over as head coach at Hamlin?
Wow, 5-year plan. That's, you know, something that, you know, I live, you know, season to season in this profession, you know, season to season. So I would have to say no. Do you have a plan for your program in the year? Yes. You know, we definitely have a plan of where we see it. You know, we want to be competing in a, you know, we want to be top four in the league is our goal. And, you know, obviously we got a ways to go this year to get there. So, you know, we'll keep chopping away. But as far as a 5-year plan, man, I'm on 1-year plans, man, just trying to do the best job I can do with our young guys, our young people, week in and week out. So
Sylvia asks, she says, I know that players, other coaches, and probably a whole lot of other people come to you with their issues and challenges. So who does the head coach talk to when he is frustrated and feeling overwhelmed?
Oh, man. Got to put some thought into that one. As far as, you know, I feel like I'm pretty close with my family. So even if it's, you know, just to talk, you know, I'm fortunate to still have mom and dad around and brother around. So I'll talk to them. My roommate from college, man, he obviously played football together. So he has a good perspective on things. And he's actually, you know, he's in medical device sales. So, I mean, it's good listening to him and be able to talk about what's going on in corporate America. And I can incorporate that with my guy. So, I mean, it's good to talk to him. And then, you know, there's a former coaches that you can pick the phone up and talk to. Hey, I'm having an issue. Hi, you know, what do you do to motivate you? What did you do to motivate your teams? Or what was it like coming off a tough loss? So coaches that I can lean on that are mentors, you know. So I got a bunch of people that I can talk to.
Jenny would like to know if there was ever interest that you had to coach anything but football.
Was there ever interest to coach anything but football? You know what? Jenny, I always thought basketball coaches were really cool. I always thought they were cool because they could wear suits on the sideline. I mean, on the side, you know, during the games. I always thought that was pretty sharp to wear a suit. So basketball was cool, but I never played organized basketball. I'm not an expert in football, but, you know, football is where I know more, but basketball is something that I didn't play, couldn't coach it. But I always thought that was been cool because you can coach in a suit.
You look pretty sharp in a suit. No matter what. We have a couple of questions from Jed. The first one is, do you think it is more difficult to continually be good at the college level or at the pro? Like, is it harder for Nick Saban to keep Alabama rolling or Mike Tomlin?
Ooh, wow. I think in college, the turnover is every 4 years. So common sense-wise, I would think that's a little bit more difficult. But in the NFL, you know, everybody, quote-unquote, has very good players. You know, so I think it'd be, you know, that's a really good question. I think it's, which one is more difficult? I'd have to say, being that I have not, you know, been a full-time coach in NFL, I have to say college, because your team turns over every 4 years, where you can keep teams together in NFL longer, you know. So that's something to really think about. I think college. I think college is a little bit more difficult.
Jed would also like to know, what are some keys, do you think, to being a successful coach?
Wow. Keys to being a successful coach. You got to be able to communicate. You know, you got to be able to motivate. You got to be able to, you know, be very sound in your schemes. You know, I think those are the three things. I think those are three things that you really need to do to be a good coach. And you got to be a good listener, too. Got to be a good listener.
Noah asked, he says, there's a lot of talk about how these millennials feel entitled today. Has that made it harder for you to coach, or do you not see that at Hamlin?
Millennials. Yeah, man, the millennials are taking over. You know, the electronics, you know, not a lot of eye contact. You know, so, but, you know, millennials are on all campuses. You know, it's fun. It keeps me young, you know, keeps me trying to, you know, figure out how to continue to reach young people. So it's good. You know, I don't know if it's not a bad thing. It's just the way it was. You know, when I was coming up, my parents thought, you know, I was crazy. So here you go. So.
Isaac asks, he says, Coach, here is an interesting question for you. I see that quarterbacks, when they are warming up, always have someone next to them to catch the return ball so that they don't hurt their hand or fingers. However, if you watch baseball pitchers when they are loosening up, many are throwing the ball around with teammates and catching it too. Are quarterbacks just more careful or baseball pitchers less intelligent?
Probably quarterbacks is just being more careful. I'll never want to say somebody's less intelligent. Those guys probably don't want to get a finger banged up, and I think that's probably what it comes from.
Coach Jack asks, you were talking about mental toughness last week, and I found that really interesting. I wonder if there's a way to improve a player's level of discipline.
Yeah, discipline, you know, part of it has to come from, you know, holding them accountable, you know, just from starting with, you know, are you going to class every day, whatever level you're coaching, but are you doing all the little things? You know, one thing we talk about a lot in this program is make you better every morning. You know, if you can make you better every morning, that's a small task. That's the first task. And if you can be disciplined enough to do it every day, it builds, you know. So just, you know, being able to do something all the time. And, you know, the biggest thing is holding them accountable. If you can hold them accountable, you know, some level of, you would like to think some level of discipline will come with that.
I'm gathering that you look at this and you think it doesn't take some kind of huge revelation to a person to become more disciplined.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But it's something that you have to do over and over again. You know, you got to do it over and over, man. And again, like I said, you know, the accountability piece is huge to help them with discipline. You know, so.
Steve would like to know, what do you think are some of the things that cause team chemistry to go awry?
Wow. I don't know how much time you have, man. I've seen things from, you know, a post on social media, you know, can make things go awry, you know, people not having the best interest or not being selfless, having not the best interest for the team, you know, so it's a lot of things that can make the chemistry go awry. You know, that's why as a coach, you got to try and stay as close to your players and have a good pulse on your team. And that's tough. You know, when you got, you know, 75 different guys, man, from different backgrounds, part of the country, and, you know, everybody, you know, you got to get guys on, you know, trying to have one agenda, man, and that ain't easy. You know, that's what makes football, that's what is part of the piece of football I love. You know, it's a challenging part of how you keep number 75 guy interested and invested, just like the your so quote-unquote number one guy, you know. So it's a tough deal, you know.
What do you do when a player has, like, let's say, for example, somebody's replaced a starting quarterback or starting offensive lineman? How do you keep that player who's replaced from kind of being a, you know, a negative influence on the team?
Yeah, you gotta. One thing we always gotta do is you gotta talk to them first. Gotta talk to them first. You just can't make a change. You know, I made a big mistake my second or third year coaching, man. Made a change on the field. Didn't talk to the kid before we got out there. It was one of my receivers. Said, hey, you're not gonna be a starter, and that taught me a great lesson. You got to communicate with these kids early, let them know exactly why, be honest. Hey, you're not getting the job done. You know, you're one play away from being back in that role, so you want to be ready. You know, you just got to be honest with them and let them know what the deal is, man.
Sean's going to teach us something interesting. He asked, do people from Pennsylvania dislike Ohio teams or New York teams more?
Definitely, I would have to say, wow, that, you know what, in football, I would say Ohio. You know, PA, Ohio is a big, that's a big, they call it the big, although when I was coming out, they had it the big 33 game. So, you know, I would probably say in football, Ohio, PA don't get along much. But then in basketball now, you know, I'd probably say it's New York, you know, New York and Philadelphia. I mean, that's always been a good rival.
Tyler asks, he says, I'm all about eating healthy, but how can people not like eating steak?
Tyler, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, it's all about your preference. You know, I know red meat. I'm trying to cut back on the red meat as I get older. So there you go, Tyler. I don't know. Steaks are good, though. It's good to have it. And anything you do, if you do anything too much, you know, it ain't good for you. So if you have a steak every once in a while, it's good. But if you eat steak every day, I don't know if that's necessarily good. So
Tyler would also like to know. He says, I think Bruce Willis is the most overrated actor of all time. Who do you think meets that criteria?
The most overrated actor. Wow. You know what? That's the first time I've been stumped on this show. I don't know if I have an answer for you, Tyler. You know what? I'll have an answer for you next week. Let me put some thought into that.
Okay, we'll return to that next week.
Yeah.
Beth asks, she says, I like that you admire your dad. Seeing how you handle yourself on the field, he must be quite a guy. What is your favorite story you have about your dad, if you don't mind sharing?
wow. Well, Let's see, my dad. Gosh, our relationship didn't get really tight until college. I think the best story I have is I did something, I wasn't supposed to be doing, and I might have been about 14 or 15 years old, and I'll never forget this, man, and it stuck with me, man. My dad said, "Son, I could care less if you like me at all." I mean, he flat out to a man told me that, "I could care less if you like me. That's not my job, is for you to like me. I got to make sure that you can handle yourself in the real world, and you're doing the right things, and you're being a good person." So that, ever since that, it was like, okay, it's not a popularity contest. Parents aren't supposed to be friends. I think that's a lot of problem today, honestly. Be honest with you, some of the guys we get, they grow up with their parents and their friends, and nobody holds them accountable, no discipline. My dad told me that at 15, 16 years old, light switch came on. I said, okay, I get it. I get it. I need to straighten up and do the right thing. So I'm very grateful to him. I'm glad he's still around. I'm glad he was at the Carlton game, and just blessed to have him. And he's been a good role model, and somebody I can look up to. And I just hopefully I can make it to his age and do as half as good as he's doing right now. So just fortunate to have him. And if I got that, and if I got that experience from him, that's one of the big things with me now, is just trying to, all the words of wisdom, just try to give it to our players, because it is like, I'm not going to say I'm not old enough to be these guys' dad, but, I don't necessarily say role model, but it's like, they're not going to forget me, so the way I carry myself and how I coach them, how I communicate with them, it's important. I know both the head coaches I played for, remembered all the good, all the bad, my high school coach. So, I mean, it's an important position to be called. It's an important job to be called coach, so I want to make sure I do a good job with that. So,
That's awesome. So we end this week with, why is it great to be a Piper?
Wow, man, Piper Nation will be back. It's homecoming. We have a very, very, very worthy opponent coming in here, with a different style of football. We have not talked about this defense. Their defense is very good. They don't do much, but they're very good, man. They're very well coached. I'm excited to see how offensively we come out and play. I'm excited to see defensively how we play, and if we can control the field a little bit with the special teams, that'll be great. So it's homecoming. It's a great time to be a Piper, and we'll have a lot of alums back, and I'm looking forward to seeing the alums. They always come up, and we talk and visit, and we just want to make sure we have a good game on Saturday for them. So.
It's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. See you next time.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamline University head football coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsReport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.